Welcome to KXRW's Authenticity Matters, where we examine how to live more intentional, fulfilling lives by truly being ourselves. In each episode, we will talk to guests who've transformed their lives, organizations, and the community through authentic and intentional actions. I'm your host, Jen Coyne. My goal with this show is to inspire as many people as possible to find their authentic path. Hearing how my guests found their authentic journey is inspiring and can be super helpful. But having guests who provide tools and processes to help you with your own journey is even more directly actionable. Which is why I'm super excited to introduce you to this month's guests. This month's guests are Tamla Michelle O'Neill, the founder and creative at Maison Sacré Lotus, and Christine Myers, CEO of Project Wellness and owner of The Fluid Soul. They both bring their intuitive gifts and vast experience to their ventures. Tamla and Christine have different journeys, but both offer products and services to the community that promote healing, discovery, and self-assuredness, which are all critical components for living an authentic life. So much you say, I need you so much. The more I'm away from you, the more of you I want. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, so it's been great getting to know the two of you. We have a wellness cohort of business owners here in the area that we live in, Vancouver, Washington. And so that's how I've met the two of them. And so I'm just super excited to have you here. As I start all my shows, I would really love to hear from each of you. How do you define authenticity yourself?
I love that question. I'll go first. It's been a journey of my own to kind of label this, but it is really about tuning into that internal compass and finding that yes and that no within yourself, so you can find that path that just soothes you in all different aspects of your life. That's really what authenticity means to me.
Love that.
Yeah.
How about you? I've kind of been the rebel my whole entire life, like different from everybody in my family, but that was because I've always had like this need to be me.
Yeah.
And authenticity to me literally means being yourself all the time, but being yourself in a way that exudes kindness and compassion and love for other people. I feel like if you love yourself and you're authentic with who you are as a person, then that just, you know, goes out into the ether and other people are able to feel it and see it and hopefully encourage them to be able to be that for themselves. So that's me.
I love that. And there's sort of a connectedness in the two answers that I have follow-up questions. You mentioned, which I haven't heard it articulated this way before, which is great, that it's sort of that yes-no. Right. Yeah. And I talk a lot about core values and how core values give you your kind of your yes, no. It's your decision making compass. Right. Yeah. And so if you're what I hear you saying, I think, is that if you're being authentic, then those yes, no decisions come really naturally of like, heck yes, heck no, about whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Right? And it's, a lot of it lies in discernment. I know I tried to be the rebel when I was younger, but when I was a young adult, it was more about becoming who, you know, the outside world wanted me to be. And it took me like a decade to kind of shed that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm really anchored in my yes and my no and the discernment in every choice that I make revolving around the work that I do or the food that I eat or how I move my body. So it's really about that yes and that no and honoring that, like I know within me.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And not just being a pleaser.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've all been in those people-pleasing spaces from time to time, I suppose. Or
oh, yes.
Some of us more than others.
Yeah.
The thing that struck me about what you said, Tamla, is I often assert that people, especially people in power that are trying to shove people into whatever box they define, it's because they don't have their own authenticity. And so the kindness and empathy and things like that don't flow naturally out of those people. Would you agree with that?
Oh, most definitely. I've worked in nonprofit agencies, finding homes, trying to house the homeless, especially in Portland, Oregon, because that was where I spent the majority of my time working in low-income housing. And the red tape and all of the things, and you have to present this specific type of being.
Right.
And it just did not flow with who I was as a person. Mm-hmm. And so watching people around me be these really, well, we have to do this by the book and we have to do this and we can't do it like that. And I'm like, but these people are not feeling loved.
Right.
They're not feeling encouraged and they're not feeling hope. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that should be our purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I was always the, I would literally have people see me on the street and they're going, hey, that's the lady from the housing authority. Can you help me? You always help. And
yeah. Giving a wide berth for people to be who they are and still be deserving. So I love those definitions. That's amazing. Tamla, I want to start with you on this next question because you sort of already alluded to it, which is your history, your background. Tell me a little bit more about whatever led you to the path that you're on today.
I grew up in Northeast Portland, born and raised in Northeast Portland.
That's amazing.
And I saw a lot. I saw a lot of change, and I saw a lot of change that wasn't necessarily good.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being in elementary school, and my fifth grade year in elementary school, they changed our school from kindergarten to ninth grade to kindergarten to fifth grade.
Okay.
And what we lost was the peer mentoring, because all of the ninth graders and the eighth graders would have younger children that they would mentor.
Yeah.
And we lost that. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, wow, I needed my big sister, you know, and going in from fifth grade into the sixth grade and being a shy kid and all those other kinds of things. And I was like, now I feel like a duck out of water.
Right.
And how do I navigate this? And not having anybody to kind of help.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so now you have to learn how to help yourself.
Mm.
And then it was, but how do you pay that forward? Even as young as I was like, how do I go from having this wonderful spirit that helped me through third, fourth, and fifth grade because I was in a lot of honors classes. Mm-hmm. So I was always like the youngest person in the class, but she really helped me. And so I was like, how do you pay that forward? How do you be what she was to you, to other people?
Yeah.
And so that kind of like spearheaded this whole, I just want to help people and I just want to do things for people. And I would get a lot of ridicule, especially like within my family, because it was like, who is this person? You know, she's really not like the rest of us.
Right.
And, but still, when people would need help, even when I was like in high school, they would come. And I remember my great grandmother telling me, she said, you have a specific spirit and a purpose. Mm. And I hope that you really find it.
Mm.
And I was like, ooh, she's such a wonderful person. And she's telling me all these beautiful things. And, you know, what do I do with this? But I just continue to grow up and I continue to have a desire to be a voice for other people, as well as a help. And I would find myself working in nonprofit agencies because at that point in time, I felt like that was the way that you do it.
Right.
And I didn't really like know that there was other opportunities to be able to do that. So I spent a lot of time, all my whole working life in nonprofits just for that purpose.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Tamla, I love your story. Mine's a little different. I grew up really poor here in Vancouver.
Oh, wow.
My dad worked at the airport across the bridge. And in my teen years, I spent a lot of time rebelling and doing all the things I shouldn't be doing. And I don't think it was until my father passed away. I was married at the time with two kids. He was 65. He was about to turn 65. I was getting ready to plan this really great surprise party for him. Oh, I might get emotional. But then he died.
Was it sudden?
It was sudden and it wasn't sudden. He wasn't speaking about what was going on in the background. So that year leading up to it, I spent a lot of time with him and trying to get his health in order. But at that point, it was...
Too late.
It was liver disease and he was an alcoholic. So it was one of those things. So I cherished the full year I got to spend with him. But it was like, 64 and his life is over. Like that's...
Yeah, I lost my mom at 64.
And it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Two small children. But my marriage, it was off and on. I knew I wasn't living up to, you know, my roles as like a mother or like a mentor for the people, my friends, my family. So I took a hard look at myself in the mirror after he passed away and was like, none of this is working for me.
Yeah.
None of this is working for me. We deserve to be enriched by our lives and inspired every day. I feel like it is such a gift having this beating heart in our chest. And I feel like I want my clients to wake up every morning inspired and ready to chase whatever goals or dreams that they are aspiring towards. So I got a divorce a year after my dad passed away. A year after that, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer.
Oh, wow.
So it was like three back-to-back years, really hard. I was diagnosed with a cancer and, you know, just headed back to work. I was a stay-at-home mom. I was working at a preschool, minimum wage, like barely making the mortgage. It was really tough. And then I met Reiki. My mentor, Jeanette, was amazing. She was kind of handed me this little box that was like, you can be and do anything you want. Here you go. Gave me all these really beautiful tools. I started just those micro habits, right? Mm-hmm. Small moments. Started with like cutting out like the toxic processed food and who I spend my time around, which eventually led me into becoming who I am today.
Yeah.
But it really was that rock bottom moment where I gave myself a long, hard talk was like, okay, I never want to be here again. This is hard. This is really hard. I never want to be here again. I'm going to make it my mission to move where I can find peace every single day. I can wake up every single day and have that deep sense of gratitude. So really cherishing life. It wasn't always easy, but I don't regret anything. I really love my family still, you know, my parents still. It just was what it was.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, there's generational things too, right?
Oh, yeah.
That the traumas that probably your dad didn't process, or the way that he processed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was through self-medication.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people fall into that because it's like, you need something to heal you.
Yeah.
But a lot of the things, there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of like, you know, lack of awareness, things like that, of the things that can truly transform you as opposed to the quick fix.
Absolutely. And I feel like I'm kind of doing my lineage, right? They say like, yeah, you are the ancestor or the being that your ancestors were waiting for. And I feel like that's, I'm creating that small shift in my lineage that my children will carry forward.
Right.
Right. They're going
to break that cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, a little bit of my background.
That's amazing. Well, tell me a little bit, Tamla, it sounded like you had an awareness that even your grandmother saw around your energy and like what you, your gifts, so to speak. A lot of, I think that everyone, and this is one of the reasons why I do this show, is because everyone has unique, special gifts that they bring to the universe, right? The energy that they're carrying around. And it's almost like some people put force fields around it so that it can't be put out into the world, yes. Right? Yes. They're stifling it. They're dampening it. And then there are people that just let it flow. I'm curious about how you like became aware of what your gifts are and how that eventually, I believe from knowing you, led you to Maison Sacreed.
I grew up in a very strict religious family.
Yeah.
From generations before me, we all attended the same church. And a lot of things were taboo and a lot of things we didn't talk about or discuss, but I grew up seeing spirits and hearing spirits and feeling different, but I also felt like I couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Because even the grandmother who saw, great grandmother who saw these things in me, she could be like, oh, well, you know, you got to pray that out, you know? But it was, encourage the compassion and the love and the, I feel like I've always been a mom because I don't know how not to nurture people. But that was encouraged, but the other part of me was not. It was, you got to pray about that. And I remember being 12 and being baptized, and I was like, what is going on? I don't understand this. You know, and
yeah.
You're doing this to a child, and I really had no idea what was going on. But that was going to save me. I would dream, I would have visions of people's death. And then because I didn't have an outlet to express that and talk about it, I internalized that these people were dying because of me.
Oh, yeah.
That was hard.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, but I grew up with this, the concept of laying on hands. We would go to church and, you know, they would have somebody come up and they would say, oh yeah, so-and-so is going through such stuff. We're going to lay hands on this person. And I remember my great grandmother telling me that I had that gift. And of course I didn't know what it was. And then I had my daughter and she almost died. And we're in the hospital and they've got her hooked up to like all these machines. She was 8 months old and I'm like panicking and we're days in the hospital and she was in a coma and all this stuff. And they were like, it's just a waiting game right now. We don't know, you know, if she's going to come out of it or whatever. Right. And I could remember this. I could hear this voice clearly in my head saying, just touch her body and just hold her in your heart and in your soul and just touch her body. And I did that. And I remember the swelling. It was a whole crazy situation, but I remember like watching her get better visibly in front of me, and I was like, well, shoot, let me rub everywhere.
Yeah, right.
You know, and but it didn't happen again until my son almost died when he was a baby.
Wow.
And I didn't have medical coverage, and I remember calling Kaiser and I was like, oh, my son, he's turning colors and his lips are turning blue and all these things, and he's limp, and they would say, oh, we'll put him in a bathtub. Oh, and do this. And oh, and do that. And all of these things were going on and nothing was working. And I was sitting on my bed watching my son perish literally before my eyes. And that voice again, just take your hands and just touch his body. Put the intention of life over his body. And I watched his color change. And I saw this little baby because he was 6 months old. And I was like, oh, my gosh. It's real. You can really heal with your hands. And somehow my cousin found out about this situation, because I didn't tell anybody, because again, a lot of the things that I had grown up with, people would tell me, oh, you can't do that because that's demonic, and or you can't do this because, you know. So I didn't tell anyone. Somehow or another, I was, my brother and my sister-in-law were living with me because they would babysit while I went to work. And they must have told people, because my cousin was like, oh my gosh, her daughter, your cousin is, she has a fever and we can't get it to go down. I'm at work. And she's like, but I need you to come and touch her. And I was like, I don't want to come touch your kid.
Right, right.
You know, because I'm thinking, I go do this now, everybody in the family is going to think that I'm some kind of freak.
Yeah.
But I did it. And I remember going to her house and I'm holding her daughter and I'm just soothing her. You know, there's no words that are coming out of my mouth or anything. I'm just literally running my hands across her body, and her fever went down. The whatever was going on in her head was going away. And I was like, oh, I'm just glad that I could be here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Fast forward to my granddaughter. She's, my son bought her a skating board for her birthday. And the first time she got on it, she ran over a rock and it flipped her off of it. And she came down and busted her whole ankle.
Oh,
and it
no.
was ugly. Like, oh, and I'm sitting there with my CPR training and all this stuff. And I'm like, what do I do? What do I do with this baby? And the ambulance came. They took her to the hospital. And but they didn't put a cast or anything on her. And she was in so much pain. And again, I could hear that voice. Just, you can't touch what's hurting, but you can touch other places in her body and take away the pain. And I did that for 4 days. And they finally did the surgery. And they sent her home. And my daughter was like, I don't want my daughter on morphine. And I said, so I heard that there's this thing called acupuncture and acupressure, and you could do this and it will help with the pain. So I'm practicing,
right?
You know, and then they took, she got an infection from the cast. The materials infected her leg. So we had to take her to the hospital and get that off. And, but it was funny because when they took it off, her ankle was healed. The only thing that was bothering her at the time was the infection from the cast. And they were like, there's no way in the world that she, this bone is healing already. And, and the swelling is going down. And I was like, well, but I've been touching her.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that what Reiki was at the time. I just knew that spirit tells me to touch my granddaughter. I'm going to touch my granddaughter and help, you know, hopefully she'll feel better. So then I, met this lady, and she was a Reiki master. And we'd gotten to talking and all this stuff, and she was like, you've been doing Reiki. And I was like, well, what is it? So she explained it to me and all this other stuff. And she was like, do you want to become a Reiki master? And I said, so basically the thing that I've been capable of doing, I can do it in a more structured way. And she said, yes. And so she attuned me. And I have been attuning other people ever since.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's how I got into the healing with touch. But I've always been like, herbs are really, really good for us. And I had a hysterectomy and came home with no pain medication because I knew that there was something different that I could do.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I'm not saying this to tell people go and have surgery and don't, you know, but I knew that I could move myself further in healing without adding drugs to my body. And I have just always, when people talk to me about things, you know, it was like, well, let me see how I can figure out how to help you.
Yeah.
And then I did the Reiki attunement, and I was like, you know what? This can really help women find themselves and reclaim themselves. Because I've always been interested in helping women reclaim their sensuality and their femininity. And it's always been really, really important to me. So when I figured that I could fuse Reiki with that,
yeah,
it was a
done deal.
That's
your secret sauce, yeah, right?
It was a done deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's we live in this culture where, again, we talk about kind of like quick fixes for things. Mm-hmm. I think we have lost a lot of our ability to sort of tune in to what is going on with our own bodies, what's going on with our, you know, with the people around us, all of that kind of stuff. And I think we need to spend more time like really listening to what we need, right. You know? And for me, I've found certain things. It's like, you know, turmeric ginger tea and things like that. Like anytime that I have a sore throat, I go for that. I don't need to have, you know, whatever pain medication or something like that, right? That there are natural ways to kind of help your body get what it needs. And there's another gal in town that I would love to have on here as well that talks about intuitive eating, right? It's like, mm-hmm. That intuition, listening to yourself about what you need. And then I assume, and I, the next thing I want to do, Christina, I would love for you to talk about what Reiki is, because we've been mentioning it.
Yeah.
For people that aren't familiar with it, that you both have the gift to sort of tune into what other people also need for their own healing.
Yeah.
So tell us, what is Reiki?
So Reiki is... universal life force energy. It is in everything. It is always around us. It is connected to everything. And when you are attuned to Reiki, you become a conduit for this energy. So it's always around you. It's always in everything. But now you have this channel where we can direct it towards pain, anxiety, diet, fitness, all the things. Mm-hmm. But one thing that is naturally, just organically connects to is helping people relax, helping people connect back to themselves, breathe really deep and remember why they're here, remember what they're doing. Yeah. And then when you, I guess, build a practice with Reiki and you build a relationship with it, you can fine tune how it adjusts your life. And that was the big thing with me when I met Reiki. It was bringing this awareness that your life could probably be a lot more fluid for you, serve you in a higher power. So it kind of put my life under a microscope, and I just started making changes. I started making adjustments. And that's kind of what I provide for my clients, is this really safe space to look at their life, give them that opportunity to slow down and really connect with what you need. Where's your yes? Where's your no? Why are you doing the things that you're doing? Why do you have these habits and these patterns? How do they serve you? Right? Layer by layer, of course. We don't like just detox everything in one session.
Yeah.
It's a layering piece.
It's a therapy.
Yeah.
Right? It's maybe not a talk therapy in the same traditional way, but it is a therapeutic treatment to get yourself more grounded. I love the name, the fluid soul, because I do feel like, you know, life is hard, right? Yeah. And things and people around us make it harder for us, right? There's a lot of barriers that people have created for others and for ourselves. But I feel like sometimes we're fighting against things that we're doing, situations we're in, et cetera, where it's like, you know, it shouldn't have to be this hard, right? Mm-hmm. Things should be more fluid for me. And so it was funny. I was in a webinar, you know, group networking thing recently, and they were saying, well, what do you do when you run into these obstacles and this, that, and the other? And I kind of flippantly said, I give up. And then I was kind of like, you know, LOL or whatever. But there was like this kernel of truth to it, where like at some point you have to I don't know if it's submit or just like give in to, this isn't for me. This isn't the path that I should be on. This isn't.
It's a surrender.
Surrender. That's the right word. Mm-hmm. Right. That you surrender to what the universe is calling you to, and not put yourself in the headwinds so much in your life. Right. And I think that these different modalities like Reiki can help you discover and relax and become centered into your true self.
Oh, yeah. Know? Yeah, absolutely.
This is Jen Coyne, and today I'm talking to Tamla Michelle O'Neill and Christine Myers about wellness modalities and self-care that encourage people to live more authentically. We heard about each of their journeys to becoming business owners and wellness practitioners and got two unique takes on what authenticity means. When we come back, we'll learn more about Reiki and other modalities that can help heal and strengthen to achieve your life goals. But first, let's take a break and hear from the sponsors that make this radio programming possible. You're listening to Authenticity Matters on KXRW 99.9 FM.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Support for KXRW comes from On Point Community Credit Union, with 8 branches in Southwest Washington, offering checking, credit cards, home equity lines of credit, and more. On Point. People are the point. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity. Learn more at onpointcu.com.
Welcome back to Authenticity Matters on KXRW 99.9 FM. I'm Jen Coyne, and my guests today are Tamla Michelle O'Neill, founder and creative at Maison Sacré Lotus, and Christine Myers, CEO of Project Wellness and owner of The Fluid Soul. Before the break, we heard about their inspiring journeys. Next, we'll hear more about each of their businesses and wellness products and services, and how they can help people in their wellness paths.
I want to come back to talk more about, so you're a Reiki practitioner, Fluid Soul, that's primarily what you do with that, right?
Yes. Yeah. A Reiki practitioner. My love and my passion right now is attuning other people to Reiki and expanding on the traditional training methods. And that's really like a deep dive into kind of unpacking those habits and patterns that are kind of holding people back, and why you are triggering in this way or reacting in that way. And it's a year-long process, so it's a commitment.
Yeah.
Once a month we meet, but the transformations that I'm seeing in my students is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of kind of almost training the trainer too that you're doing, right? In helping people.
Yep.
And so that's beautiful. And I love, you know, bridging the gap from, you know, popping, you know, a pharmaceutical or something to try and cure yourself versus like having to go on a big journey. If you make it a little bit more methodical, a little bit more structured, I think then it does become more approachable for people, where people go, okay, you know, it's not just going to be like this thing where I surrender to whatever and something is supposed to happen, you know,
right.
But you actually can sort of set some mileposts or like, hey, I can feel that progress happening for myself.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
Yeah.
And a Reiki session, it can be done like 1,000 different ways. I had one session because people process differently, right? Mm-hmm. So some people really process through verbally speaking things out, and that can be your full hour session. Like Reiki's always moving through you, always meeting us right where we are. Or you can spend an hour laying on a massage table in just quiet music in the background. I've seen so many creative aspects on how the Reiki session is held, but
yeah.
It really is, can be curated to how you heal.
Sure. No, I love that. Tamla, coming back to your journey. So when the last thing that you were talking about was sort of like marrying these different gifts together. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that secret sauce that you have with your practice.
Oh, gosh. You know I do these farmers markets, right?
Yeah. And Vancouver Farmers Market. She's there.
Yes. All summer long in the holidays, but not the winter. And I meet so many people. I probably have conversations within a month. So, you know, four weekends, Saturday and Sunday. And I probably have conversations with over 100 people.
Yeah.
And those conversations are never about products. They're always about healing. And it's funny because the people who sit to the right and to the left of me, we are always next to each other. And we have this thing because we're family.
Yeah.
And so we have this thing about if they move one of us, why did they do that, right? But every weekend when it's over, somebody will come and say, you spend as much time having conversations with people as you do selling your product. But now they get it because it's been 4 years. And so they kind of get it that it's my way of offering therapy to people that I would not normally come across. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a brick and mortar and I'm not even on the internet saying, hey, I do this.
Right.
My website is primarily about my products and then I have a blog.
Yeah.
And so without people really meeting me face to face, they have no idea that I work with herbs and they have no idea that I work with Reiki and they have no idea that I write books to help, you know, reclaim your sensuality and all these other kinds of things. So it's not until I'm at the market that people are like, oh, you know, I was just drawn over here to you. Mm. And then people say, how do you do this? And I said, you know, honestly, it's source, spirit, the universe working through me. And I've always been this vessel.
Yeah.
And I don't know how not to be. And I actually don't ever want to experience not being able to do that. But it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I would have women who would come to me and we'd start having conversations. And they'd be like, oh, you know, I've been on IVF and I've been trying this and I've been trying that. And I said, and I would always ask, the first thing that I would always ask them is, have you ever allowed yourself to just sit in stillness with your femininity? Because one of the things that I have seen in my whole entire life of being a woman, which has been my whole life, is that we have been stripped of the power and the sensuality and the sacredness and the creativity of our womb space. And a lot of times it's energetic. It's not even, you know, you don't have endometriosis or any of these other things. And you go through all this stuff and they say, oh, well, we don't know what to do and we're going to put you on hormones. And that's not the answer. Sometimes you just need to heal the energy in your womb space in order to get pregnant, have an orgasm, enjoy sex, or be creative.
Right.
You know, but we have had a history of women being shut down, closed up, and shut up about feeling sexual and feeling sensual and owning that part of their body. That's where we create from.
It's repressing our power generally, right? As part of kind of the patriarchy.
That is exactly what it is. And I was talking to somebody recently and I said, you know, the definition of misogyny is hatred for the goddess.
Yeah.
And so when you look at the fact that patriarchy has given us this idea that the feminine energy and the feminine power and our softness and our sovereignty is not real.
Or weak.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and I preach soft power all the time.
Yeah.
You don't have to be this strong woman and carry this load on your shoulder, because our power is in our softness. It's
absolutely
not in this strong physical and I can handle all kinds of things. That's not where we have our power at.
Right.
So that's part of my conversation with people. And even with husbands, and I, you know, and I'm talking to them and I'm like, allow her to just be, allow her to just own her femininity, whatever that looks like for her,
right.
Not what you think it should look like, but
right.
Whatever it looks like for her. And so this lady that I was coaching yesterday, and oh, my husband was like, do you realize that she was coaching her for 10 hours? And I was like, I didn't until I started yawning. And I was like, have I really been on this conversation for this long? But it was, she needed a lot of help. And it was, she had never spoken to someone who told her that it was okay for her to be soft, and that it was okay for her to not have expectations for tomorrow, to just literally sit in the present
just
moment.
Just be.
And just be. And so having the conversation and working through that is something that I find myself doing all the time. And then I go home and I do Reiki on myself too.
You gotta recharge your power.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you mentioned that you're at the farmer's market.
Yes.
And what are you offering these days at the market?
At the farmer's market?
Yeah.
So I love crafting and creating, and everything that I make is, it has some purpose in helping women return to their softness.
Yeah.
Because again, that's what's important to me. And so I have a vaginal lubrication that is all herbal infused, and it's a beautiful thing. And I have 100% organic massage candles.
Oh yeah.
And and when I tell women that, as you melt your candle, like put it in your bathroom,
mm-hmm.
so that you can get the essence of the fragrance, because I'm an aromatherapist. So, mm-hmm. you know, fragrance is amazing and it's all natural. And I'm like, put it in your bathroom while you're taking your shower, your bath. And then when you get done, you can take the melted wax,
mm-hmm.
and you can use it to give yourself a body massage. And it's a beautiful thing,
yeah.
but it helps you just to sink into your softness. And so, and I do yoni steams, and,
mm-hmm.
and I have teas that I have for libido and menses and menopause. And
I was like, you help with menopause too, right?
Yes,
I'm like,
yes.
I need to get some of that.
Yes. And everything that I make is 100% organic. Everything that I make, they're my own recipes that I have built and created and crafted over many years of just, you know, figuring things out. And then I discovered aromatherapy. And I was like, ooh, this is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just another aspect that I can give, because we're all sensory,
right?
You know? And so, but when it smells good and it's natural and you can burn, or you can put it on your body and it's not toxic. And so then you have this, I discovered that you really have this freedom of being able to relax and just be still in the moment, because you're not worried about toxic buildup and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, oh, is this product going to break me out, or, you know, those kinds of things. So I was leaving the house today and my husband was like, oh my gosh, baby smells so good. And I was like, you think so? It's what I made.
<You
know? laughs> So, and he does this every time. Well, because I do like pheromone rollers.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I have a couple of different fragrances, but I crafted these fragrances so I don't smell the same all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he's like, what do you have on?
This is my own creation.
This is what your wife does,
yeah.
for a living. And but I also, it's so funny, because the last weekend that I was at the farmer's market, one of the other vendors, they sell the baked popcorn.
Oh,
it's
oh.
absolutely amazing. But she's always buying the pheromone rollers. And she was like, oh, I went, because she's a horse trainer. And she was like, I had to come back and get more, because the horses are reacting to the pheromone roller. And she said they're so calm and they're
so
obedient in a whole way that they weren't before. And so she was like, so I need a couple.
That's amazing.
And I was like, okay, well, here you go. And yeah.
I would love for you to tell the audience the story behind Maison Sacrée and the why it's named what it is.
So I have had several names for my business. Years ago, I was Tamla Michelle Holistic because it was mostly about herbalism. And then I became a business partner with my daughter, and we were really focusing on feminine well-being and sensuality, and it became Divine Feminine. And then she moved away, and I just felt like I needed to not rebrand, but to pay homage to my ancestry. So I have a grandmother who I recently found out that a lot of the gifts that I have, I inherited from her, and I wanted to pay homage to her and the fact that she lived her life without being able to be who she was.
Yeah.
And she was Creole and French. So Maison Sacrée comes from that part of my heritage. And then lotus, I have, ever since I was a little girl, I've been drawn to the lotus flower, and I had no idea why. And then I found out that it's the flower of the Divine Feminine.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, well, this is perfect, and this is who I am. So really, it's paying homage to my heritage. But also, it's so much a part of who I am. And it literally means the house of the sacred lotus.
Yeah.
And so that is the energy that I try to bring with everything that I do. So that's why Maison Sacrée Lotus.
Love it. Love it. Well, in the last few minutes that we have, I wanna talk about Project Wellness.
Yes.
Yes. And what that's all about and what that offers to the community and sort of what your intentions are, Christine, for where you're going to lead that.
Yes. Project Wellness. Man, I'm so excited about Project Wellness. So many things. This is my first year taking it over. It was previously owned by two gals, Emily and Stacy, and they both had some awesome projects that they wanted to kind of pursue. So I took over, and it was this annual retreat that kind of gave the community these micro sessions and workshops to experience geared towards wellness. Mm-hmm. We also brought in some vendors from, you know, anything from strength training to acupuncture in the lower part of the building. And I'm continuing to add to that. Mm-hmm. This last year, we doubled our vendors, moved the venue to this beautiful 5-acre vineyard. And this year, I'm aiming to grow it again. Yeah. I'm hoping to bring out, doubling again, the vendors. I feel like having this annual hub of just education on where's your yes with wellness, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to look like meditating for 20 minutes a day. It can simply be like, oh, I'm dehydrated. That's going to like drastically change my life, right? So giving the community an opportunity to experience, because a lot of these vendors, last year they did these mini sessions, micro treatments that were a retreat in itself.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to experience the journey a little bit deeper, you could do a curated full-day retreat where we have sound healing, Qigong, yoga, all the things. It's a full immersive experience. Mm-hmm. So you have two different options. And then this also, launching in the winter, we are releasing our first Project Wellness magazine.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be all things wellness in Clark County. It is my mission to, because we're becoming this really beautiful hub of soul heart-led businesses. Mm-hmm. And it's been overwhelming for me to even keep up with how fast, like, your business, Tamla, it was, oh my gosh, so beautiful. Like, we need everyone to know about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of my mission with the magazine. It's going to be a quarterly magazine where I get to feature these really beautiful businesses and just bring our community back to themselves. Reconnect. Absolutely. Find their way. So lots of different avenues, hats that I'm spinning with Project Wellness, but I'm having fun with it. So the annual retreat, I'm aiming for the fall, October, mm-hmm. November, maybe.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Nice.
Super excited about it.
Awesome. Yeah. So magazine, annual retreat, maybe some other events happening, cooking yes. up in the future as well.
Yeah, the tour is another kind of event I want to produce where I bring a group of individuals to the wellness studios, mm-hmm. and we make a full day of it, right? Bring in some food, some movement. So lots of ideas.
Love it.
Never ending.
Sounds yeah. amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been such a privilege to, because of the work I do in the business space, in being able to, especially with the wellness community, it's just so energetically beautiful having everybody come together, because everybody yeah. brings a special, unique perspective, tools, gifts, and it's like there's something for everyone.
Oh yeah,
right.
I think that if you're going to slow yourself down a little bit and give yourself some self-care, you know, it's that putting your oxygen mask on first. It's always the kind of overused metaphor, but yeah, it's so right. true that, like, we do that if we're in an emergency on a plane, but on a daily basis, we just don't do that care and feeding for ourselves that enables us to live more authentically, to be courageous, yeah. to be strong through being soft, right? Like, we can do amazing big things if we have that energy to do it,
yeah.
right? And there's so many things that we do in our lives that deplete our energy.
Oh gosh.
Yes.
And we don't recognize that we've got to, like, make those deposits back into our energetic bank, so oh, yeah. to speak.
I'm that person that tells people there is no such thing as you operating with a half full cup. Your cup has to be overflowing.
Yeah.
And the overflow is what you give to other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that.
It's extra, the bonus.
Absolutely. Yes. So, Tamla, tell me how people can find you and learn a bit more about your offerings.
So I have a website, and it is actually my name, and it's not Maison Sacre Lose. It's www.tamlamichelle.com. I'm also on Instagram at Maison Sacre Lotus. Mm-hmm. And then during the summer, always, I'm vending at Vancouver Farmers Market. And this winter, I am so excited about an opportunity to go back to the Farmers Market holiday market, because it's huge and you see so many people.
Yeah.
And whereas during the summertime, I talk to many people. During the wintertime, I talk to an amazing amount of people.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful experience. So that's primarily where
it's
I am.
It's a great event.
Yes.
Yeah. So come down and see you, see everybody else that's at the farmer's market.
Oh my gosh. And the tree lighting that's going to happen, I think it's November 28th.
In Esther Short Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's the beginning of the event. And so what happens is people will come in and they do a little shopping, mm-hmm. and then they'll go out to watch the tree being lit, and then they'll come back in and yeah. do some more shopping. But it's just a wonderful thing. And they're bringing, like, live music, and there's going to be food and all yeah. these things and things for the children. It really, they've grown it, and it's going to be a wonderful experience. And I'm so excited about being
Great.
There this year.
Awesome. Christine, how can people find you at the Fluid Soul or with Project Wellness?
Both. For my website, it's www.thefluidsoul.com. Project Wellness and The Fluid Soul both live on that website. Instagram, I am separate still. So I have The Fluid Soul for all of my Reiki, and I share more of a personal journey. And then the Project Wellness is more about the events and the magazines. My studio right now is in Camas, downtown Camas. But yeah. I'm around.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for spending time with me, for giving me your energy and just the privilege of learning more about your journeys. So thank you for sharing that. And I encourage everyone to check out your your websites and whatnot. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, this little shy, introverted person.
Yeah, this is so much fun. Thank you for having me.
This is me and my authenticity and bringing, you know, our voices together. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to Tamla and Christine for your wisdom, care for the community, and calming spirits. Links to their events and services can be found on the Authenticity Matters show page on kxrw.fm and on Authenticity Matters on Facebook. Before we wrap up the show, let's hear from the sponsors that provide this radio programming to the community. You're listening to KXRW 99.9 FM. That I don't know, I test the places like I've been rotating since the night. Not tense to whatever we want, we're young enough to say, oh, this has gotta be the good life. This has gotta be the good life. This could really be the good life, good life. I say, oh, this feeling that you can't fight. The city is on fire tonight. This could really be the good life, a good, good life.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
KXRW is supported by founding partners Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their women-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs and within their budget. Find Morrell Inc. at morrellinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
Join me next time to hear more authenticity journeys on Authenticity Matters. This is KXRW 99.9 FM.